Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio none other than Amy Pettit. Welcome, Amy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm feeling great, and I'm really looking forward to our discussion. This is a pilot for what you have called Ag Matters.
That's right.
And I thought,
pun intended.
So all of that is true. So I thought what we could do for listeners is help people understand what's happening with agriculture in the Mat-Su Valley, or for that matter, beyond. But in particular, you have a position. Describe your position, and we'll start from that as a talking place.
Sure. So I am the executive director of Alaska Farmland Trust, which is a nonprofit based here in Palmer, but has a statewide presence, and we permanently protect agricultural lands through conservation easements. Kind of a big, gnarly topic, you know, with a lot of specifics and details, but at the very base level, we save the soil. We protect farmland.
And how much soil has been saved?
To date, we have protected just over 230 acres, all here in the greater Palmer area.
Very, very interesting.
Yep.
230 acres.
Yep.
Now, given that there are many, many acres all around, in one sense that seems small, but I know that it's a beginning and you have a process in place. What do you expect to see in the near future in terms of adding to that acreage?
I get hung up on that sometimes too, that it doesn't sound like a lot. Two major points there. You got to start somewhere.
Right.
And Farmland Trust just started less than a decade ago. And it's a slow process, and it's a permanent investment. So although we're only at that, you know, a little over 200 now, there's so much potential to protect more. And in terms of the short-term future and what we've got coming up next, we are working with Great Land Trust on another property that we hope to close on in the spring or early summer of 2017. And that will be an additional just about 70 acres, I believe, of a property that's a combination of habitat and agricultural land. So we're really excited about that.
So what we have are two names that are so similar. How can you help listeners understand Farmland Trust, Great Land Trust?
You bet.
What's the difference?
Yep. So actually, just for the sake of conversation, in Alaska, there are six different land trusts that are doing the work of permanently protecting land.
Okay.
Five of them are focused on habitat and salmon habitat in particular, wildlife habitat, open space, etc. Farmland Trust is the only one focused solely on agricultural lands. So that's something that sets us apart.
Okay.
Great Land Trust here in South Central is, you know, they protected the Butte recently. They protected some property over by Makatans Elementary that's got salmon habitat along Wasilla Creek. They have hundreds and hundreds. I don't even know how many acres they have, but it's a lot, primarily of open space.
Okay.
Open space, public lands, properties that are for the good of, you know, all Alaskans. The other land trusts, just to throw their names out, are the Bristol Bay Heritage Land Trust, the Kachemak Bay Heritage Land Trust, the Interior Land Trust, the Southeast Alaska Land Trust, the Nature Conservancy, Great Land Trust, and us. Is that all of them?
You got a lot. If you missed any,
Anyway, I guess they're all great partners, and we look forward to working with all of them in the same capacity that we're currently working with Great Land Trust. It's just, I like to point out that Farmland Trust, our sole purpose is to protect agricultural lands, and we are the only ones solely focused on that.
So when you say protect agricultural lands,
yep.
What does that, when land moves into that protected status, what does that mean?
It's permanently protected and reserved for agricultural production only.
Okay.
A deed restriction is placed on the on the property, on the title to the property, recorded in the recorder's office, recorded at many different levels, just due to the paperwork involved in this process. But the landowner willingly gives up certain rights, development rights, mining and extraction rights. They give up a package of the rights to that property. We buy that from them. They're not just, you know, releasing it, but we purchase those rights from them and place those restrictions on the deed to the property such that in the future it can only be used for agricultural production.
So the owner receives funding now, but still retains ownership of the property.
Absolutely.
So then they can go ahead and sell the property, and basically those restrictions are carried forward to whoever owns it next.
Exactly, exactly. And that's something that's not always clear to people, so I like to spend a little bit of time explaining that. Farmland Trust to date owns no property. We simply own development rights. Other land trusts own property, and maybe someday in the future Farmland Trust will own property as well. But due to the cost, the high cost of land here in Alaska, it just hasn't made sense for us to outright buy any property at this time.
Okay.
But that, and that other point that you made is really important, that that restriction carries forward in perpetuity. The landowner can sell the land, and that has happened with some of our properties. But the new buyer obviously knows that they are buying property that has restrictions involved. And that has a big impact on the value of the land. When Farmland Trust purchases that conservation easement, purchases those development rights, places the restriction on the land is now valued at its agricultural value only, which is a great reduction from its what's called its full value. So the benefit to that is that when, as we're trying to grow more farmers in this state and get more people involved in food production, often one of the biggest restrictions is access to land and the capital to buy that land. But when the land only has its agricultural value, it's a much more doable amount of money for a lot of people. So that's one of the upsides to this.
Very, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've used the word buy. Buy means money.
Yeah.
Where does the money come from?
Great question. I was giving a presentation a couple of weeks ago at the annual Farm Bureau meeting, and a gentleman that's well-known across Alaska, Bernie Carl, he said to me, Amy, he said, this sounds too good to be true. And I said, well, here's the kicker. It's that money piece. That's the tricky part. And that's currently our biggest restriction. We could be protecting additional acres rapidly, much faster if we had a bottomless amount of money, but we don't. We have benefited in years past. Farmland Trust has benefited from state appropriation dollars. And we are still currently utilizing some appropriated dollars from a few years back, which is great. We hope that the state will still find value in giving Farmland Trust dollars to use, primarily because one of the huge benefits to Farmland Trust and the work that we do is that the federal government also finds it incredibly valuable, and they match our money. So when we go to purchase a property, oftentimes, in every property that we work with so far, the federal government has footed half the bill. So that's huge. And that's something that it's my understanding that members of the legislature still consider those wise investments when we have federal match dollars. So we're hopeful that perhaps in the future, perhaps not this year, but somewhere down the line, we will get state appropriated money again. The other places that we get the money are just like any other nonprofit, we do fundraisers. We've had some very successful fundraisers over this past year. It seems that people like this story, and they like to get involved. They like to feel like their dollars are going somewhere good. So that's valuable. We benefit from Pick, Click, Give. We're looking forward to talking more about that over the next couple of months when the Pick, Click, Give promotion is happening. Grants, foundation money, and then just private donations from individuals.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have a website?
We do, akfarmland.com. We have a exciting change happening to our website right now. My IT guy is wrapping up our online store just in time for the holidays. We've got some really fun swag, including our ever popular and always sold out Drink Beer Save Farms t-shirts and hats.
Drink beer, save farms.
Drink beer, save farms.
how does that work? Wait. I mean, how's that connected?
Right.
To the T-shirt.
I love to answer this question. At the basic level, right? All of our food comes from some sort of farm. Hopefully, more of our food is coming from Alaskan farms. But back in June of 2016. We had our first Drink Beer Save Farms night, and the good folks at the Palmer City Ale House hosted a concert for us featuring Marty Rainey and Ken Peltier and another band that I'm forgetting right now, but there were three bands. And at the end of the night, Matt Tomter, the owner of the Ale House, donated the beer proceeds to Alaska Farmland Trust.
Whoa.
So folks came and they drank beer and they helped save farms. And we had T-shirts and hats for sale that were wildly popular. And so we've done a second run of those and we've got them ready just in time for the holidays for stocking stuffers and under the Christmas tree.
So this new website is about to hit the internet?
The store version, the store link on our akfarmland.com will go live here in the next couple of days. We're just getting all the inventory in there.
But you can't buy a small plot of land. And
we are saving land one T-shirt at a time, Mike. It's not going to pay all our bills, but we're certainly finding that it makes a difference and it helps people. The messaging mm-hmm. is really valuable. At the state fair, I had a booth for 12 days, and I had one of these Drink Beer Save Farms T-shirts hanging in the booth. And okay. if I had a dollar for every person that walked by and said exactly what you said, how does drinking beer save farms? I would have enough money to save another 40 acres because it catches people's attention, and then we can talk to them about what we do and why we do it.
Well, I think you have clearly described the Alaska Farmland Trust and how it fits within all of the other trusts that are working to help preserve land. The rest of the story is very large, and I know you have had a background involved with agriculture. Talk a little bit about that. Weren't you connected somewhere with the Department of Agriculture?
That's right. Yep. In 2005, my husband and I moved back here to Alaska. He was born and raised here in Palmer. And I immediately had the benefit of an internship at the State Division of Agriculture here in Palmer. And then for the next 10 years, I was employed at the Division of Agriculture, eventually taking lead of the marketing team and running the Alaska Grown program, the grants program, part of the inspection program, et cetera. Prior to that, I was born and raised on a beef cattle operation on the southern Oregon coast. I went to school at Oregon State for an ag business management degree and always intended to be involved in agriculture at some level. I actually had big plans to take over my dad's operation. I found an Alaskan instead of the cowboy I went to college looking for, and we ended up here. But I knew, you know, agriculture is just part of who I am. If I were on my dad's property today, I would be the fifth generation of our family making their living off of, you know, farming that property. And so it really runs deep in who I am and what I want to do. So, you know, coming to Alaska in that 10 years at the Division of Agriculture was so valuable just in gaining an understanding about the ag industry in this state, how it has an impact, the people and the lives that it touches, et cetera. And then about a year ago, actually a little over a year ago, in August of 2015, I came over to Farmland Trust just because I was ready for something new, and I've always believed in this organization and what it's working on. And I think at the end of the day, it's very similar to the work that I was doing at the Division of Ag. It's about food, it's about soil, it's about people in this industry, and so I was glad to make that transition.
Oh, yeah. So what we're going to be doing in the future is talking about different aspects of how agriculture matters.
That's right.
And so perhaps we can today prime the pump, if you will.
You bet.
By taking a look at one aspect of agriculture here in the Valley. I'd like to start, if I may, I know there are all kinds of things we can deal with, but you've mentioned the Alaska State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And Radio Free Palmer broadcasts from the fair, and I and we've been going to it for many years. I am impressed with the continuing and in some respects what appears to be a growing interest in things like 4-H, et cetera, there at the fair. Young people involved with animals, et cetera.
Yep.
What's your sense of this core, the Alaska State Fair core agricultural focus that sits in the center? Yes, there are rides. Yes, there's food. Yep. There are performances and so on. But at the center, there's this ag core.
Yeah, there is an ag focus. And I think that we have to give huge credit to the staff and the board of directors and the general manager of the state fair for making agriculture a focus of that fair. Because I think, I mean, I don't even remember how many people come through the fair over the course of the 12 days, but it's a lot.
300,000.
Yeah, 300,000. Good gracious. A third of the population of this state, right? Or half the population?
40%.
Yeah. So it's a lot of people. And I think the majority of the people, you know, if they just hit the ride and got the cotton candy and the elephant ear, they'd probably walk away from the fair happy and feeling like they had a good experience, right? But the fair has focused on maintaining and growing the agriculture presence at the fair. And I'm so pleased that they do that, because for a lot of those people that come to the fair, that interaction with the animal in the petting zoo or walking through the crops exhibit barn, that might be their only touch to agriculture all year long. And if we can just get more people to find value in that and believe that that's important, then that's what helps this industry grow. The fair, you know, I just really want to emphasize that they don't have to be focused on agriculture, but they have made it of value, and that's reflected in their board of directors and in the events and the things that they focus on there at the fair. The fair for me, when I was a kid, of course, I didn't grow up here in Alaska, but the fair was a huge part of my development and my love for agriculture because of 4-H. I was a 4-H kid. I started with bunnies, moved on to sheep and cattle and horses and the whole nine yards. I was a large animal master showman in my day. And it just taught me so much about responsibility and integrity. And anyway, I can't thank the fair enough for their focus on kids and 4-H and agriculture and those programs. And I hope that it continues to grow. You know, one of the downsides is that the fair starts, you know, school starts before the fair now.
Right.
Hot topic. Probably not going to change anytime soon, getting that school start date pushed back beyond Labor Day. But it does definitely have an impact. Fewer families and kids can participate in a big way at the fair because the kids are in school, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an issue. I've been an advocate on the school calendar committee for a couple of years now saying, let's move the start date back to beyond Labor Day. But yeah.
My understanding is, looking at agriculture around the country, there has been a lot of description of the commercialization of agriculture, the tendency for big ag, big farms, corporate agriculture.
Yeah.
Here in Alaska, we seem to be not immune from that necessarily, but in a situation where, as I think about places, whether it's growing crops, Arctic organics, other places, I find that there are still family farms, smaller farms, mm-hmm. that seem to be able to do reasonably well.
Mm-hmm.
And this ties into those young people who are doing 4-H. Other than thinking of it as a good experience, hobby, et cetera, is there a way, and I know a few people, you have better perspective, who seem to be able to say, yes, I can actually step into a role as a career, as a life activity, mm-hmm. to be involved with agriculture. What does the future hold for young Alaskans who have started some agriculture experience?
You know, first, we are so lucky here in Alaska with the agriculture industry that we do have, talking about not being as influenced by corporate agriculture down in the lower 48 or corporate farms, et cetera. You know, we don't have that up here. We have a lot of small businesses. We have some very successful farms, but they're still family owned. They're entirely owned by their members, et cetera. We don't have any outside influence, so to speak, on that business. You know, if you look at the fishing industry, for example, a lot of that is owned by outside companies, right? But we don't have that in agriculture up here, and we benefit from that immensely. When it comes to kids, in my 10, 11 years of work up here in the ag industry, one thing that I have seen, we have a growing 4-H population. We have a growing FFA population, the Future Farmers of America. They're growing their number of chapters across the state. And so more kids are getting a taste and a sense of these opportunities. But one thing, unfortunately, that I see happening is that a lot of these young people leave the state for secondary education. They go to college somewhere else, and then it's hard to get them back because it's kind of like my situation. You know, I went to college in Oregon to find someone to take back to my dad's ranch, and I ended up, you know, coming to Alaska. And I think that happens to a lot of our young Alaskans who are seeking an agriculture education, natural resource management, ag business, something like that outside, and then they don't end up coming back. And that's a real unfortunate thing that that we've seen happening, or I have seen happening here in Alaska. And hopefully I'm wrong on that. But from the young people that I've seen, that's one of the things that I've heard. But there's still tremendous opportunity for the young people that do come back, be it working on a farm, managing a farm, working in agriculture business in some way, shape, or form, working at the Division of Agriculture in on that side of things, in the bureaucratic government side, jobs at places like I work, you know, Farmland Trust or the Farm Bureau or some of these other organizations that support the agriculture industry. There's still quite a bit of opportunity. And thankfully, we do have a segment of young people that come back to Alaska. Weirdly, most of them were not originally from Alaska, but there's this movement of young people that want to be on the land and want to grow food, and they're coming to Alaska, and that's a great thing. We need them. We need more farmers in this state. And there's a conference coming up in February. I don't have the exact dates, but they're out there. It's called the SARE Conference, the Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Conference. And if you were to attend the SARE Conference, you would be thrilled by the demographics in the room based on the age in particular. There are so many young people at that conference learning about sustainable ag production in the state. And they're participating in workshops, and they're asking questions, and they're talking to the feds about grant money and the state about marketing. And, you know, they're just there soaking it up. And that's a really exciting conference to go to see the momentum of young people interested in food production in Alaska.
Okay. And I suspect as we get closer to that, we'll talk more in detail about all of it.
Absolutely.
And there's another piece here. We just have a short time before we finish up. But my sense is that along with the creation of larger farms in other places, there's also the impact of the use of technology. When you talk about people growing up, doing work with their animals and so on, there's this data collection system that's increasingly important that gives us detail about what's happening.
Yeah.
And that whole thing seems to be, in many places, having some very significant impact upon agriculture. And I'm going to expect that that's happening here as well.
It is, yeah.
And it's going to require probably an entire show to talk about it.
Yeah.
But if you were to say, and as you look about, do you see technology, what is the thing that you see most that technology is causing as an impact on agriculture in the state? If you were to think about
You know, the potential for young people to get a taste for agriculture through technology is there.
Okay.
So whether it's young people working with drones and being hired by a farmer to take, you know, aerial photographs of their farm or to help them with nutrient management or apps or, like you talked about, data tracking. There is so much in data management right now that you can't even keep up with it, right?
Right.
And you think about the average age of the farmer in Alaska, I think is 58 or 59 years old. They're certainly not keeping up with all of that technology. But if a young person can come in with, you know, the knowledge on the technology side and an interest in the agriculture side, there's just the potential for a beautiful marriage there and success on both sides and greater efficiencies. So the drones, I think, will be huge in, and then the, on the precision agriculture side with the satellite technology and, you know, hands-free driving of tractors because it's all, you know, connected by satellite and all this wild stuff that even to me is a foreign language, but it's exciting to watch.
Oh, well, I think we have given listeners a taste of what Ag Matters will be like. Mike Malevsky here, and I've been talking with Amy Pettit, who's been describing both the Alaska Farmland Trust activities as well as some things in, about agriculture here in the state of Alaska. We look forward to having you return and do another show.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Amy.